comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
From sea to shining sea throughout the solar system and extending to interstellar regions beyond, this is The Kevin Smith Show.
And welcome to The Kevin Smith Show. Whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful place we call Earth, thank you for being here at The Kevin Smith Show. You know, one of the things that is... we say it every night, and that is that this is talk radio like nowhere else on earth, and it's the show where you matter. And that's so true. You matter in so many ways, and I want to thank you. I want to thank everyone who has, over the past week or so, been sending me suggestions for topics, suggestions for shows. I get those every week. This week has been particularly rich. And I say that because the suggestions that you've made for topics and the suggestions that you've made for guests, most of what I've gotten looks like something we'll be able to use, and I've already begun working on getting some of those guests. I've begun working on preparing for some of those topics. And I get those every week. I get more of them some weeks than others. But this week was, as I say, it was like striking gold this week. And I appreciate that. I thank you for it. Without you and your input, this show would be nowhere near what it is. It is what it is because you help make the show to be what it is. Tomorrow is K-Files Day. Now, K-Files Day is very simply the day that we send out our free weekly newsletter. Our free weekly newsletter is called the K-Files, so if you're not subscribed, where's the genius in that? Go to my website, kevinsmithshow.com, and the biggest link on the page says K-Files. It's right in the middle of your screen. You can't miss it. Go over there and click that and subscribe. You can unsubscribe anytime you want to. And by the way, we never give those email addresses to anybody else. We don't loan them out. We don't rent them out. We don't sell them. Never have and never will. So you won't be spammed as a result of subscribing to the K-Files. The music that you hear on the Kevin Smith Show comes from independent artists primarily at musicalley.com. Boy, I'll tell you, they put together some great music, and we appreciate the work that they do. You can find them at musicalley.com, and you can listen to all of it for free. Some of it you can download. So go over there and enjoy musicalley.com. Tonight, we are going to find out the details about a very interesting family saga. A family that lived with a secret, so secret they didn't even know the others knew. We'll be back right after this.
Come on.
And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening is Anna Martin. Anna was living a life with a secret. Other than the secret, her life was pretty much just normal, like everybody else. But then something happened, and she discovered that other family members also had a secret. And as they talked together, they pieced together an amazing story. A picture unfolded, a picture of extraterrestrial contact. Anna, welcome to the Kevin Smith Show.
Hi, Kevin. Thank you for having me on.
Anna, you have written this account of your family into a you've written a book and you're publishing it, but take us back to what this secret of extraterrestrial contact. There are several of your family members that have experienced this, and none of you knew that the others had. Is that correct?
That is correct.
How is that possible?
I think each one of us thought that it was something abnormal and that it would not be credible if we told the other or anybody for that matter. And it wasn't until now as adults, my brother started speaking little by little about certain encounters that he was having. And I guess seeing the reaction in our face, he kind of like stopped talking about it. But the reaction was that we couldn't believe that he was having it or that the other was having it. Or myself, for that matter, until I started to tell my brother, no, you know, I've seen that too. You know, this is not something that you're alone in.
Mm-hmm. And so then the story just sort of began to, I guess you could say it began to sort of gush out then, and everyone began to share what they had experienced. Is that right?
That is correct.
All right, let's tell us a little bit about your family. What kind of a family are you?
Well, we were born and raised in Mexico, and you know, we come from a middle class family. I mean, I have two brothers. One's a doctor, one's a lawyer. One's an engineer, one's a doctor, and I have three other sisters. You know, each one of them with a career of their own, and we just never really talked about it because I guess just a fear of being ridiculed or being set aside, separated from the rest of society, not even amongst each other.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't until I actually saw the extraterrestrial here on our plane face to face that I told my brother about it. I said, oh my God, you know, there was something in your room last night. And once I started talking a little bit, he started to tell me. He says, was the bed shaking? And I said, yeah. And he said, did you feel somebody from poking you underneath the bed? I said, yes. And he said, well, it's just my alien friend. He comes from time to time. As soon as he said that, I thought, oh, my God, you cannot be so just nonchalant about it. This is this is not normal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it's like you said, you know, Anna, who am I going to tell? Who am I going to talk to? Who am I going to complain to? You know, there's no one out there. I just have to deal with it and see what it is that they want and why they continuously bother me on a daily basis.
So you had seen extraterrestrials and had not told your family, is that right?
That is correct.
Okay. Now, you saw extraterrestrials, you hadn't told your family. Tell us a little bit about those experiences. When did they happen? What did you see, et cetera?
Okay, the first one that I saw here on our plane, because I saw him twice. The one that I saw here, my daughter and I, my youngest daughter, we had spent the night at my brother's to help him get his home prepared because he had married a gal from China, and the gal was due to, you know, come to the U.S., and we wanted to have the home nice and ready for her.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing he said was, you know, I don't want anybody talking about extraterrestrials or anything of that sort to my new wife because I don't want to frighten her. So we, you know, we made a pact and we said, okay, fine, we're not going to say anything. So that night, around 11 o'clock at night, my daughter and I went upstairs to his room to, you know, to go to sleep, and he stayed downstairs in the living room. Now, mind you, there was only three of us in the home. Around 11:15 at night, I woke up completely like somebody just rudely awakened me from a deep sleep. you know, I took a sigh and my heart was pounding and I thought, God, that's really weird. I wonder what happened.
Mm-hmm.
So dismissing it, I went right back to sleep. The second time that I woke up because I felt the bed vibrating. And at this point, I thought, okay, maybe we're having an earthquake, or is it my heart? Is my heart beating fast enough that it's moving the bed? And as I'm trying to analyze and try to figure out what's going on, the next thing I know, out of the foot of my bed pops out an alien the size of a child.
Mm-hmm.
Around, I'm going to say about maybe 8 or 9 year old child.
Okay.
And when it saw me, we made eye-to-eye contact. The first thing that he or she, I don't know what it was, said, but without opening its mouth, it said, I'm not going to hurt you. I'm just here to observe. And at that point, I thought, okay, I really am seeing what I'm seeing. And at this point, I wanted to talk to it, but it forced my eyelids to close. And
now, how old were you?
This was about 3 years ago.
Okay.
And I literally fought to try and stay awake, and I fell right back asleep. When I woke up again in that same night, I woke up because I felt something poking at my back from underneath the mattress. And at that point, mind you, it must have been about 15, 20 minutes later, I had completely forgotten that what I had seen prior. So at this point, I thought, oh, my God, is this an entity? Is it a ghost? Is it a demon? I sat up in bed, Kevin, and I yelled at the top of my lungs, in Jesus' name, get out. I don't know what you are, and it is not I that commands you. It is my Lord Jesus Christ, get out. And I woke up my daughter, who ironically neither my brother or my daughter heard anything during the night. I woke her up. We ran downstairs. I had my daughter half asleep with pillows and blankets and what have you. And my brother was snoring in, you know, the living room. I moved over the table. We set up our little camp there, and as soon as we laid down to go to sleep, I could feel this alien from the second floor, like saying, like, oh, they moved. And I fell asleep. That's why in the morning when we woke up, my brother sat in the sofa and looked at me and said, what happened? And that's when I told him, you know, jokingly, because I had forgotten about the alien at this point. Jokingly, I said, hey, you know, your bed's possessed. And that's when he said, was the bed shaking? I said, yeah. He says, did you feel somebody poking at you from under the mattress? Yes. And that's when he said, it's just my alien friend. He comes from time to time. And apparently, well, that's when we started talking. I'm sorry, go ahead.
So you have, this was about 3 years ago. Have you had other encounters and experiences with these extraterrestrial beings since then?
Yes, I have. The last one that I saw was, it was, somebody told me that they're called the tall whites. And what this thing looks like is, it looks like a stretched out version of Gumby. You remember Gumby and Pokey?
Mm-hmm.
Remember how Gumby was kind of like stretched out?
Mm-hmm.
This is what it looked like, but it was white. And of the head, I couldn't really tell what shape the head was because it was my door frame. It cut it off like at eye level.
Mm-hmm.
So from that part up, I couldn't really see, but it was standing outside of my bedroom door.
That's very interesting. The first time I heard someone actually describe those was Barry Chamish, or Chamish. And he's a journalist. He used to live in Israel and was working as a journalist there in Israel. He's here in the United States now.
Mm-hmm.
But they had a big UFO flap in Israel many years ago, a couple of decades back, and he in investigating and reporting on it, he talked with some people who saw that type of being and described that type of being, and described it just as you did.
Oh wow!
And they're very, very tall. And when I asked him how tall, he said 8-9 feet.
Yeah.
Mhm.
Wow. Yeah. No, I mean my door frame is your standard, you know, size door frame. So, and it surpassed that.
Mhm. Now, did they look like solid body? Like, in other words, if you went over and put your hand out there, would you be able to touch them, or would your hand just go through them? How did they look?
You know what? I really couldn't answer that because everything happens like so fast where your mind just grabs a picture of it.
Mm-hmm.
The one that was in my bedroom, I couldn't see anything behind it, so it looked pretty solid.
Mm-hmm.
And the one that I saw in my brother's home, because it was a little bit dark,
yeah.
I really couldn't tell you if... I really, really couldn't answer that one.
Mm-hmm. Now, this... The behavior of the little one that you saw and the description you gave us sounds very much like what we normally, we refer to them as the grays. Is that what it was?
Okay. You know, that's what somebody was telling me. However, from what I understand about the grays, that they're supposedly aggressive and mean, at least that's what I've been told. The one that I saw in my brother's room, which was a color of a gray, was in no which way, shape, or form aggressive.
Okay.
You know, as a matter of fact, it seemed to be surprised to see me. And from what I could feel from it, it was more afraid of me than I was of it.
Okay, now this tall, stretched out spaghetti man. this one, what was the behavior? What was this one up to?
That one was more arrogant. That one knew what he was doing, and he was just standing there, waiting, mm-hmm. like almost as if everything's supposed to be on cue. Like, okay, they human beings, they wake up, they get startled, they fall asleep, or you know what I mean? It's like it was just waiting, like for the next step.
Hmm.
That one did seem a little arrogant.
Did it communicate with you in any way?
Pardon?
Did it communicate with you in any way?
No, not the white one. Just mm-hmm. The gray ones twice.
Mm-hmm.
Twice I have seen the little gray ones, and twice each one of those has communicated with me.
You discovered when this story began to unfold and you began to piece together the pieces to get the whole picture, you discovered something about your family's ancestry, right?
Right, right.
Tell us about that.
Well, I had heard the story from my father, like when I was in high school, and you know, just in regular conversation. He had mentioned to me or told me that his great grandfather was actually found as an infant inside of a basket on a horse that had wandered onto a wealthy man's property in Mexico by the name of Valentin Martin del Campo, and at that time. Because, you know, I guess back then nobody knew about UFOs or anything of this nature. They just thought that perhaps the parents were killed and the horses had ran off or they were hijacked or something to that extent. However, the gentleman, Valentin Martin, who I can't really call him my grandfather because he really was nothing to us. So, you know, this is all from, you know, starting point from my great-great-grandfather. They ended up adopting him, which is how we got our last name of Martin, or Martin.
Mm-hmm.
And no bodies were ever found, no clothing, no blood, no nothing. And they combed that, you know, that area before they allowed this gentleman to adopt my great-great-grandfather. So in doing research after, you know, Michelle and I were putting the book together, Michelle came and discovered that area, apparently where we're from, is a UFO hotspot in Mexico, which I didn't really know at the time either.
Tell us the name of that area again.
It's the whole area is Tepatitlán, Jalisco, Mexico.
Uh-huh.
That particular area, they call it, it's in Spanish, it's called El Cerro de la Campana, which means the bell of the hill.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what was odd to me was last year, I had met with a pretty well-known psychic and respected psychic from Tecate, Mexico, who happens to be the sister-in-law of one of my best friends. Now, this gal, I had never met her in my life. She knew nothing about me, and I had asked her if she would do a tarot card reading or a palm reading, you know, just... I'm sorry?
I said nothing.
Oh, okay. Just out of curiosity. And so during the reading, she looks at me and she says, you know, I hope I don't offend you in any way. I hope you don't get upset by what I'm about to tell you. And I told her, no, just tell me whatever it is. You know, I'm a big girl. I can handle it. She says, okay. She said, your family, on your father's side of the family, and she was adamant about my father's side of the family, you are all descendants of extraterrestrials. And at first, of course, I laughed. I thought, oh, this is ridiculous. And I let it go. But then about 10 minutes later, I had to ask her again. Wait a minute. Did you say? And she said, that's right. That's exactly what I said. And then I started remembering the story about how nobody knows where we come from. Now, whether it's a coincidence or not, you know, I really couldn't tell you.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just odd and just really bizarre.
Well, that also is not something shocking for us to hear, because we've heard stories right here on this show. I've had guests who were found as infants in similar circumstances and were raised by, you know, someone else who adopted them. And in one case, this person openly avows right now that he is extraterrestrial. And, you know, it's apparently during the 1950s, there was a lot of quite a number of infants that were found. But you're talking about something, I guess, back really in the 1800s, right?
Right, right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this goes pretty far back.
Mm-hmm. All right, so you knew this story and about your great-great-grandfather having been found. But now what about when this psychic said to you, on your father's side, you are descendants of extraterrestrials. Did you have any inkling of an idea that that was the case before this psychic said it?
In all honesty, yes. I knew since I was very, very, very young mm-hmm. that I was different from other people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just knew some certain incidents that happened. Now, as an adult, I knew it was going to happen way back when I was about maybe 10 years old.
All right, we have to step away for a break. We'll be back, folks, on the other side of this break, more with Anna Martin. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Let me say very quickly that early in the show, for those of you watching our internet television channel, I don't know if we were being attacked or what, but twice the whole software just absolutely froze up and we had to reboot the software. I don't know. It hasn't happened to me like that before, so that's a new one for me. Anyway, we're up and running. Those of you listening via radio, whether AM or FM, shortwave, or listening via your cell phones or computers, you didn't have an interruption in service, but other folks did who are watching the TV channel. But that's all fixed now, and hopefully it will stay fixed. We're talking with Anna Martin, who experienced something that probably a lot of people have experienced, and that is that she was having encounters with beings not from this world, and other family members were too, but none of the family knew that the others were having these experiences for a long time. And then when they began to tell each other, it all just came out and sort of came together. Now, Anna, when we went away for break, you had just said that you knew I had asked the question if you had any inkling of an idea that you might be of extraterrestrial ancestry prior to the psychic telling you this. And you said, yes, actually you did. And you started to describe it. And part of it, you said, you had known since you were a child that you were different. How were you different?
Right. How I was different was as very, very young as I'm going to say about maybe 5 years old, mm-hmm. I knew that I can be, do, and have anything that my heart desires. Not because I can ask my dad, my physical, you know, worldly father, but because I knew that I can ask for it. And somehow it would be given to me. And I have played with this throughout my years, and I have gotten everything that I have asked for, without question. You know what? I want to make a quick note here, Kevin, mm-hmm. regarding the phone freezing or what have you. This mm-hmm. happened to me last night. I was talking to a friend of mine. We were texting back and forth. And as I was telling him, you know, talking to him over the text messaging, I saw on the right peripheral vision of my eye what appeared to be a starburst uh-huh. in some sort of silvery diamond type color.
Yeah.
When I went to look at it, it disappeared. It just like disintegrated. And then my phone froze and my television turned on by itself. And it took about a good 3 minutes before I was finally able to continue.
Uh-huh.
So maybe we are being listened to, I don't know. But all I do know is that I do have permission to speak about this because I did ask before even the book was written. I asked for permission.
And who did you have to ask permission of?
Both aliens and God. Mm-hmm. I told them both, you know, if you want me to move forward, if, you know, for some reason you want me to go ahead and let the world know, I have no problem doing so. But I need your permission, I need your guidance, and I need your protection because I will not go through this alone. Mm-hmm. And the next thing I know it, everything just snowballed one after the other. The book was put together and everything is just moving along.
Okay, so you and your brother have both had these experiences. Anybody else right. in the family have these experiences?
Yes. Both of my daughters and also my sister mm-hmm. and one of my aunts on my dad's side of the family who just recently started, you know, talking little by little after she realized that my brother and I were opening up. Mm-hmm. She started to, you know, tell us a couple of things here and there, but she lives in Colorado, which makes it a little bit more difficult for me to get a hold of her.
Mm-hmm. What happened to her?
I'm sorry?
What happened to her?
She, you know, hers I think is more ghost-related. I haven't really had a heart-to-heart with her, mm-hmm. but she was telling me about you know, ghosts that she has seen and people that have come to talk to her. And, you know, I really haven't had a chance to come down and really sit down with her and get the full scoop. But I'll tell you this. Last year during our family reunion, there's about 200 of us to get together mm-hmm. from my father's side of the family.
Mm-hmm.
This lady came up and started talking to my niece, my sister's daughter. And what, you know something? Nobody knows who this woman was. She came to my sister's daughter and told her, I know you're very worried, but don't worry. Everything will be gone. Everything will be done soon. You have nothing to worry. You can come and talk to me whenever you want. And we thought, God, that's really bizarre. Like, who is this? We thought she was a guest that someone had invited. Nobody knew who she was, and she was not to be found there again. She disappeared. Just as quickly as she came in, she was gone.
And do you know, no. of these 200 people, do you know all of the family members in that group?
Yes, we do. Mm-hmm. We all know each other. We have to wear name tags because there's like 200 of us, but mm-hmm. we all know, you know, we all know each other. And it's not even the complete family because my great-great-grandfather had fathered children pretty much all over the place from his own, the wives of the workers
mm-hmm.
that used to work for him in the hacienda.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of other, you know, cousins that I have that I don't know of. The only ones that I know would be from my dad's brothers and, you know, and then all of us, actually.
Well, it sounds like your family reunion is about the size of my mother's family reunion. When they get together at Christmas time, there's like, you know, anywhere from 90 to 200, depends. Some years there's more, some years there's less. But I'll tell you, the last time I went, I saw people there that I didn't know who they were, and they were related to me. So I, but we don't wear name tags. So, but it's a big family, and you know, I know all of my mother's brothers and sisters. There's 10 of them. I know all of their kids, and I know those kids' kids. Now beyond that, you know, and there's a bunch of these out there. Beyond that, the younger ones, well, I don't know. Okay, now, you said this happened to your daughters, too. What happened to your daughters?
Right. My eldest daughter, we were sleeping in the room. All three of us slept in one big old comfy bed. And I woke up in the middle of the night to hear like a very soft humming noise.
Mm-hmm.
And when I opened my eyes, outside my bedroom window stood an actual UFO. And it took me a couple of seconds to, like, realize that this was actually taking place, you know, that I wasn't dreaming.
Mm-hmm.
And once I did, it shot out a beam of light. It went directly into her stomach, and she started, you know, groaning, just, you know, going, oh, no, no. And I thought, oh, my God, you know, I didn't know what it was doing. So I reached over, and I put my hand out to block this beam to go into that was going in her stomach. And the next thing I know, I fell asleep. And then during that night, it's really bizarre because they make you think that you're either dreaming it, that you're dreaming, that it's not really taking place.
Mm-hmm.
But that same night, I found myself running in my hallway, hiding from this beam of light. And it got me. It got me in between the bathroom and the bedroom in the hallway. And I just fell asleep. I woke up the next morning, and my daughter was complaining of a stomachache, and I had completely forgotten what had happened that night. I made her go to school, and they called me from the school. They told me, come pick your daughter up. She has a 100-some-odd-degree fever. So when I went to the nurse's office to go pick her up, I asked her what happened, and she said, no, I don't know. My stomach hurts really, really bad. Then I remembered, oh, my God, I remembered last night. There was a beam of light that went into her stomach. So at that point, I hurried up, and I thought, okay, now that I put two and two together, I was taking her to the doctor so they could, I don't know, see, maybe they put something in her or I don't know. I don't know how I was going to explain it, but I was going to take her anyway and have them, you know, look her over. And on our way to the doctor, Kevin, just like a snap of a finger, the fever went away, the pain went away. Just like that.
How old was she?
Like that. She was, let me see, she was like in fifth grade. So that's what, about 12 years old?
No, she's about 10 or 11, yeah.
Yeah, around there. I just turned around and went back home. But you know what? There is something that's been bothering me for a while, and I'm hoping somebody might shed some light to this. I was at Target, out in the front in the parking lot, getting ready to walk into Target, when I came across a person. Now, this person, I couldn't tell you if it was a male or female.
Mm-hmm.
All I can tell you is that he or she was about 6 feet tall, had really pretty, like to the shoulder, curly hair,
mm-hmm.
almost the color of corn. And we were speaking, and as I was talking to this person, I could see that in his or her pupil, behind the pupil, there was something that appeared to be like a twinkling star. And it was just scintillating and twinkling and twinkling. And I remember thinking, come on, Anna, don't be rude. Don't stare at his eyes. And at the same token, I remember this person, you know, thinking through his head, saying, can she tell? Wait a minute. Could she see it? Wait, she can't tell. Yes, she can tell. The mm-hmm. next thing I know it, Kevin, I'm walking inside of Target in the aisle. I had lost about a good hour, hour and a half of my time, and I have no idea how that happened, if he or she, whatever it was, if it took me. What it did, I have no idea. But all I know is I was missing about an hour and a half of time. And I remember speaking to this person just outside.
What did you speak about?
You know what? I don't even remember. It probably was like nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
All I can remember thinking through the whole conversation is, don't be rude. Don't stare at his eyes.
Does when you have these encounters, does it scare you?
No, not at all. As a matter of fact, I feel protected.
Mm-hmm.
There's I think I had mentioned to you that there's this entity that lives in my garage who has clearly identified himself as the Shadow Man.
Mm-hmm.
And this Shadow Man has protected us on numerous occasions. And on one occasion, which, you know, everybody that knows me knows the story because I was just so, you know, taken aback by it. I was dreaming that I was sleeping in my room and that I woke up because I heard somebody trying to come in through the bedroom window. So one of the rooms, not my bedroom window, the other one.
Mm-hmm.
So I started to walk down the hallway, and as I looked over in the room, I saw this black figure trying to come in through the bedroom window. So I yelled, "Oh, my God, get the gun," thinking it was going to scare this person away. The minute that it came through, I looked at it and I said, "Wait a minute, I know you." And I could never see the face. I only see hair and teeth. And the body,
mm-hmm.
the body was about, I don't know, it was pretty wide. It was like about three people wide. It was pretty thick.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at him and I said, "Hey, I know you. You're Tito." I don't even know who Tito is. I don't even know where that name came from. And he just smiled. And I said, "What are you doing here?" And he said, "Oh, some thugs were going to steal your car." And at that time, that was a time where you didn't have to have insurance in your vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a cute little BMW. And I thought, "Oh, my God, if they steal my car, I'm going to be in a lot of trouble." So he and I went through the living room, out the front door. And as soon as I got to the edge of my garage where my car is parked up on the driveway, I see this cholo type open my car door. And there was another car that was facing the opposite side of the street with two other cholos inside of it. One was in the back seat and one was the driver. And I remember when I walked out there, the cholo that had opened my car door turned to us and looked at us, and he just said, "Oh, whoa, 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 whoa." And the other guy picked his head out, and they were just, the look on their faces was priceless. The guy ran in the car, and they peeled rubber, Kevin. They took off, and I looked at this Shadow Man, Tito person, and I said, "God, I'm so tired." And he said, "Go back to sleep. They won't be coming back anymore. Don't worry about it. I'll be here." So I went back to sleep. Now get this, Kevin. At 6 o'clock in the morning, the following morning.
Tell you what, that's a good place for us to stop. We have a break. We'll pick up right there tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock in the morning. That's where we'll start. All right, folks, we'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're talking with Anna Martin. And Anna, when we went away for break, you just told us this very amazing story, a gripping story, really, about how this Shadow Man had helped you prevent having your car stolen. And then just as the break took over, you were about to tell us something that happened the next morning at about 6 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm. Right. At 6 o'clock in the morning, my aunt, who lives across the street from me, she calls our house phone, and my sister, who was living with me at the time, answered the phone, and she came to my room and said, "Anna, wake up. My aunt says that your car door is wide open. It looks like somebody was trying to steal it." And at that point, I just stared at her because now I'm thinking, wait a minute, I just dreamt of this. How could this be? And then she looked at me and said, "Anna, are you awake? Did you hear what I just said?" And I said, "Yeah, I did. I got up and I went outside. And Kevin, wouldn't you know it, my car door was wide open. There were skid marks on the street. And this cholo didn't take anything, not the money that I had in the ashtray, nor did he take the pullout stereo that I had at the time. So now I'm wondering, did this really happen? Did I have an out-of-body experience? And if so, what did we look like to them?" And this was just one of several incidents that have that this so-called Shadow Man has prevented from happening in our home.
Why do you think all of these things are happening to people in your family?
I don't know. I know that, You know, we are not mean in any which way, shape, or form. We're not evil. We're not mean. We have a high tolerance to, you know, to pretty much, excuse my French, but stupidities that happen around you. You know, I mean, my dad, for example, I have never, ever seen my father get angry, yell at someone, curse at someone, be disrespectful, nothing, nothing. And he has always, he's always been a very well-loved man and just a very good individual, kind-hearted and the whole nine yards. Him and my mom, but my mom, I have seen her upset. My father, never, never. And even myself, I would never harm another person unless it was in self-defense. And even then, I have to, like, you know, really be careful. But I know they've been following us since we were children. And I remember my brother as early as, I don't know, maybe 7 years old. He was just paranoid of these little men that he said that had shoved something up his nose in the middle of the night and wedged it in between his eyebrows. And he was back at the time, and he was talking about these little men. Now as adults, we realize, because we talked about it, I said, hey, do you remember that one day when you and my other brother woke up with nosebleeds, and you were telling my mom that these little men shoved something up your nose and wedged it in between your eyebrow, your eyes? And he said, yeah, they were aliens. I didn't know it then, but now that, you know, as an adult, now I put the whole puzzle together.
Do you remember ever being on board a craft, you know, that we talk about, we call them UFOs? Have you ever been on board one that you remember?
You know what? I have, but it's so, like, borderline dream that I don't know if it actually happened or if it was a dream. You know, I just remember it being big, huge. It was it actually landed in the school field that's behind my home. And a huge plank came down, and these aliens that came out, that they looked like human beings. And they came out, and I remember the one in the front said to those on the left, he said, "You all help those on the left, and we will help those on the right." And they were like, they were saving human beings from these huge balls of fire that were falling from the sky. But like I said, you know, it was so vivid and so real that I couldn't tell if I had actually dreamt it or if that was a vision that I saw. You know, because I do meditate a lot. And during that time where I had, you know, meditated religiously for one solid year, twice a day, that's when the doors just flooded open.
Do you see these experiences that you and your family members are having, do you see these as positive or negative?
Oh, no. The ones that my sister, myself, my daughter see is 100% positive. But the ones that my brother has are, I'm going to say, 80% negative.
Why do you think that would be?
Do you know what? The only thing I can figure is that he's a little bit more weaker-minded. Like, for example, he's afraid to speak up. I'm not. I'm not. I'm like, you know what? This is what has happened. I don't need anybody to believe it or disbelieve it. It doesn't matter. What I'm being told and asked is to let the world know so that people can start speaking up and letting other people know that they're not alone. This is happening everywhere. It's happening around the world. And only those, I believe, that are not afraid to speak up are the ones that are being shown more and more. And my brother, he's paranoid. He's afraid that someone's going to kidnap his wife because five extraterrestrials a couple of years ago almost did that. They almost succeeded with that.
Well, yeah, but, you know, they've never taken you or your daughters or your aunt or your sister. They've never taken you away and didn't bring you back.
That's right. That's right. But you know what? The aliens that I see versus the ones that he sees are two different species. He sees the ones that I was told were called reptilians. And again, these names that I'm giving to you, I only know because I have the one friend of mine that's brother's married to the psychic. Her sons are really into this, and we started talking about this one day, and they started asking me, what do they look like? And as I'm describing these beings to him, he's telling me, oh, yeah, those are actually called the tall whites. Yeah, those are known as the grays. those are known as reptilian. You know, so if it hadn't been for him, I really wouldn't know what these things are called. Or, you know, thank God, I'm glad that he did tell me that this girl was able to confirm that what I was seeing was real and that I was not alone. And that's when I told my brother, listen, what you're seeing is actually happening.
Mm-hmm.
It's not in your mind. You're not making this up. And this is what they're called.
All right. Now, did you have had a couple of conversations with psychics? The first one that you told us about was when you, the psychic told you, hey, you know, on your father's side of the family, you are descendants of extraterrestrials. Okay, so in the time that has passed, you have had other conversations, I guess, with other psychics. Have any of them ever indicated to you where your origins are? If you're descended from extraterrestrials, where did they come from?
No, they never have. As a matter of fact, it really shocked me and surprised me that this psychic would say something like that to me. Because your normal, you know, and don't take me wrong. It's not like I'm out there on a daily basis looking for psychics. You know, it was just something that happened out of a fluke.
Mm-hmm.
But no, nobody else has ever said anything to me. I just had this. I did have this one lady look at me, and this one psychic, and say, "I can't make out where you're from." And I said, "What do you mean? I'm from Mexico." She says, "Yes, but there's something else, and I can't quite make out what that is." But this was way before the actual psychic had told me that, so I never paid attention to it.
All right, now, you told us that you're from Mexico originally.
Right.
Were you from this area of Mexico where your great-great-grandfather was found as an infant?
Yeah, the whole state of Tepatitlan, Jalisco, it's pretty huge.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, but are you from near where he was found?
Am I near from where he was found? In all honesty, I don't know where the Cerro de la Campana is. Mm-hmm. When I have gone to Mexico, my dad has pointed in the direction when I've asked him. But it's not far from where we actually live now, and we've been there since I was a child.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually walking distance, but I've never actually been in there as an adult.
Mm-hmm. Now, if you haven't been there, you wouldn't know the answer to that question, so I'll skip that question. All right, now, you've written this book. What's the main reason you wrote the book?
The main reason is I want other people that are probably suffering, like my brother is, thinking, you know, this is in my head, or why are they attacking me? Is this, what did I do wrong type of deal? I want people to know that you did nothing wrong and that you're not alone, that this is what's happening to you is real.
Mm-hmm.
And I honestly believe that if you at least speak up about it and let others know, that the impact will be less severe than a person who is somebody, you know, some psychiatrist or psychologist is trying to medicate to have them from hallucinating, or, you know what I mean? Something to that extent, which has nothing to do with that. You know, I just, I want people to know, if you have these experiences, if you've had these experiences, you're not alone. And, you know, if you're really afraid, I strongly suggest you not be, because you can stand up to them.
All right, we have to step away for a break. We will be back on the other side of this break, and very shortly after that, we will open the telephone lines for you so you can participate in tonight's show. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and for those of you who are joining us just now in this second hour, a very special welcome. We're glad to have you here, and I am very sorry that you missed the first hour. Whatever, you have my sympathy for whatever it is that kept you away for the first hour, but we're talking with Anna Martin. Anna is, she's really got I think, the kind of story that a lot of folks really need to hear. And that is that here she is living a normal life, with the exception that she's having experiences or encounters with beings not from this world. And she's in a family where other family members are having the same kinds of experiences or contacts with beings not from this world, and they don't even talk to each other about it. And then one day it happened, and they did talk about it. And as a result of that, a lot of information sort of just came gushing out of everyone. And they found out that a bunch of people in the family have had these experiences. And so I think there are probably a lot of folks out there like that. You're having experiences, or you have had experiences, with beings not of this planet, things you can't explain. And you don't even talk about it with your family. Well, Anna has written a book about that. And Anna, let me ask you this. Do you have any recommendation for folks in that condition?
Yes. The one very major thing that you need to know is do not fear. We are, as human beings, a billion times more powerful than they are. We all hold the key within our own mind. Our mind power is so incredibly explosive, so to speak, and they know it. The only way that the evil ones can get to us is through our mind. They somehow manipulate into putting negative thoughts into your head. Mm-hmm. Once you believe whatever negativity is being said, you're done. You're done. You have to remember who you are. And you know what, Kevin? I have a feeling that this is probably why the Bible holds a part of the key, where they try to tell you that, you know, where they say that we are made in God's image, and where Jesus said, you know, that we are... ye are gods and so forth. A lot of us have forgotten our connection with our Creator, whether it be, it doesn't matter who you believe in, even if you're atheist. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. You got to believe in something. You got here somehow. Mm-hmm. But our minds are incredibly powerful. There is something about fear that opens the door to possession and to any form of negativity. As long as you can remember that you are above all of that, nothing can harm you. I'm telling you, the first one that I saw, it was more afraid of me than I was of it. And I get the feeling that they go by your heartbeat. You know, if you're afraid, your heart rate goes a certain miles per hour or what have you. Mm. And they're like, okay, you know, she's afraid, they're afraid. Because I forgot to tell you one thing, Kevin. When I was in my brother's bed, right before I had actually seen the alien, I felt a heavy pressure on my chest, like somebody's sitting on me. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh, my God. At first, just for a split second, I became fearful, just a split second. And then I realized, wait a minute. I'm too close to God for this to be happening to me. Oh, no, heck no. And the minute that I reiterated that, it was off. Mm-hmm. It was off. Just like that, it bounced right back off. So when I actually saw it face to face and we made eye contact, it quickly told me, I'm not going to harm you, I'm not going to harm you. I'm just here to observe. You know, so just, you know, folks, don't be afraid of them. Don't be afraid of them. That's the worst thing you can do, is have fear in your heart. We are a lot powerful than that.
All right. I want to open up the telephone lines for our audience to if they have questions or comments. And look, folks, maybe you have been experiencing some things similar to this. Maybe it was years ago, but you experienced something similar to this and you've never talked about it. Or maybe you think someone in your family may be experiencing something like this, and they're not talking about it with you. Here's someone that you can talk it over with. This is somebody that has been through and is going through all of this. I guess, are these contacts with extraterrestrials still happening in your family, Anna?
Yes, they are.
What do you think the extraterrestrials want? What are they up to?
You know what? I keep getting this, and this is going to sound really bizarre, but I keep getting this little, like a thought transference in my head that keeps telling me, are you ready? Are you ready? And I keep saying, oh, my God, I'm ready. What do you want? What do you, mm-hmm. You know, let's just do it. I'm tired of this. What do you want? But I just feel like there's something right around the bend, something coming up that I never know. I have like the need to know type basis mm-hmm. as needed, you know. And they're just preparing us. They're preparing us for something that's about to happen. But what that something is, it's not time for me to know yet, or anybody else for that matter.
Mm-hmm. All right. I started to give the phone number, and then I got sidetracked and didn't do it. So here's the phone number, folks. 623-444-5889. You can call me on that number from any place on this planet. 623-444-5889. In the United States and Canada, I also have a toll-free number. If you need to call me toll-free, you may do so. It is 888-223-4599. If you are not in the United States and you are not in Canada, and you don't want to make that international long-distance call, then you can go to my website and just scroll down. You see the picture about tonight's show, and on the right side of that is a link that says flash message, but you must be not in the USA and not in Canada. That's there because I don't have a toll-free number internationally, but I do for Canada and the USA. 623-444-5889. If you have questions or a comment, or if you've been experiencing anything similar to this, or you sort of have these memories of something kind of like a dream, maybe. Well, here's somebody that is not only a sympathetic ear, but someone that's a fellow experiencer, Anna Martin. And Anna, what's the name of your book?
The name of the book is The Martin Family, Their Secret Legacy. And you can actually find this on Amazon. Mm-hmm. However, you do have to type in the whole part that says, you know, The Martin Family, Their Secret Legacy, to be able to reach the book.
Uh-huh. All right.
And I also have a website, martinfamilybooks.com.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have Facebook, which is first name would be Martin. And last name would be Family Books, one word, capital F for family, capital B for books.
Okay. All right, let's go to the telephone line. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. It's Stefan in Quebec City.
Hello, Stefan.
Hi. Anna, I really enjoy your anecdote, and boy, I suspect you're talking straight to the heart of a lot of people out there, myself included. What I was wondering is, when you said that they asked you if you were ready, mm-hmm. and this is sort of like a little fear that I have, I'm wondering if you think there's some sort of a rapture or taking up scenario, because for myself, I don't really think I want to leave a lot of people behind or be left behind.
Right. You know what? They keep telling me, are you ready, are you ready? And I'm to the point where I'm like sick of it. Like, all right, already, tell me, what do you want? You know, what do you want? I'm ready. But yeah. You know what? It's not time yet. I know that a lot of people talk about like 2012 and this is going to happen and the other. I do believe something's going to happen, but I don't know yet. And I'll tell you something else. On Christmas Eve every year, I meditate from 11 o'clock at night straight through till 6 in the morning. During that time is when I do get a lot of messages. That's when everything comes through. I have to keep a recorder in handy. But again, you know what? Don't fear. Don't fear. That's the worst thing you can do is hold fear within you.
Well, a very inspiring message, and I hope you go a long ways with it. It's obvious that you're not after fame or glory or anything. You're really doing it out of goodness of your heart, so you got my blessing on it. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Thank you, Stefan. When you meditate, now you said you meditate from 11 p.m. straight through mm-hmm. till 6 a.m. Is there any?
That's correct.
Okay, is there any particular reason you choose those hours?
11 p.m. because that's pretty much when everyone in my home is knocked out, so I have no distractions whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
And then the way, let me tell you what, when I had a conversation with God, what he showed me, from 11 to 6 in the morning, it's, if you can picture holding a glass with water and dirt in it, during the day this water and dirt in this glass is being shaken, okay? So now from 11 p.m. to 6 in the morning, everything starts to settle down. And when it settles, you are able to receive messages a lot clearer. So for that reason, I meditate from 11 p.m. to 6 in the morning. Now, this time, I will be out in the mountains. You know, we have a cabin out in the mountains, so it will be even more powerful for me because there will be no noise whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, something's coming, Kevin. Something is definitely coming. I think whether it's going to be good or bad still depends on what the majority of the human race has in their mind.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like the story hasn't been written. It's still being written as we go along. And I do know one thing is for sure. We as human beings have got to remember who we are, that we are human beings, not animals, and stop acting like animals. We are hurting each other at the expense of everyone else just to gain a quick buck. You know, they're, people are taking from others and don't care if, you know, so-and-so is getting paid minimum wage as long as I have my million-dollar home paid for and my $100,000 car paid for. I don't care if I'm paying you minimum wage, but mm-hmm. you're going to be doing the job of 10 people. You know, that's what's happening right now.
The world, there's no doubt about it. The world is in a horrific mess. I don't know. You know, I think it's so screwed up it can't ever be unscrewed. I get criticized for that because people tell me, well, that's negative, but it's very realistic, and it is what I think. I don't think it's so screwed up, I don't think it can be unscrewed. I think it's going to take something cataclysmic to shake people back into sanity.
Yeah,
and
I didn't want to say that, but unfortunately, that's what it seems. That's what's going to happen.
Well, look, I don't mean that I want to see that happen either.
Right.
But I think just watching what happens to us and the way we respond to things, I think the only thing that can shake people back into sanity is if something cataclysmic happens and then, okay, now I can focus on things that are real and things that are important. But, you know, as long as everything is tomorrow as it is today, if it's the same, no big cataclysms, then people act the same.
Well, you know, this morning I was in the restroom putting on my makeup and, 7 o'clock in the morning, and there was nobody home. It was just me. And I'm having this full-on conversation with myself, and I'm telling, you know, God or angels or aliens, whomever's listening, said, you know, I know there's a lot of bad apples in this earth, but there's a lot of good ones too. If you're going to do something so drastic, don't make it affect all of us. That's not fair. That is not fair. Don't do that. Because if you do, you are no better than those here on earth that are destroying it and each other. And right when I said that, something sat at the edge of my bed. I heard my bed creak because, you know, the bathroom was right by my bed. And I had this really pretty thick comforter that the whole top part of the comforter is kind of like that parachute material type of deal. It's, mm-hmm. It's like squishy, squishy.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard it, like, move. And at first I thought maybe one of my dogs had jumped on the bed. And when I went out to go look, somebody had pulled the cover from my bed. It was on the floor from one corner. And I realized, okay, all right, you're listening. Good. You need to listen because mm-hmm. it's not fair for you to hurt everyone. That's what cancer does. That's what chemotherapy does. It harms all the cells just to kill a few bad ones.
Mm-hmm.
That's not right. Don't do that. So I'm hoping that my plea is going to minimize whatever damage needs to be done. But you know what? You're right. if people don't get their act together and realize that we are systematically hurting each other and the earth, we're going to be in deep trouble.
Yeah, well, I think we're sort of in deep trouble already. But it could be worse. It can get worse. But it doesn't have
right.
to. But, you know, Anna, one of the things that I'm sort of known for saying is that the only thing in the universe you can that you actually have any control over, the only place that you have any control over and the only thing you have control over is right where your feet are standing.
That's
you
right.
have control
yourself.
Over you.
That's right.
We have a new on our TV channel. We during the commercial breaks, we don't run commercials. I run messages that have something to do with the show. And we've got a new one that we haven't started airing yet, but it's a drop of water. And this drop of water, it's in slow motion, and it drops into a pool, and then you see as it drops into the pool, you see all these ripples go out.
Mm-hmm.
And the message that goes with that says that everything you do has consequences and
right.
makes changes. We don't think about that sometimes. We think, oh, I'm unimportant. Nothing I do really makes a difference. But every drop that drops into the pool creates ripples. It creates change.
Right.
And we get to decide what kind of change that's going to be. You know, by deciding
that's
what
right.
we're going to drop into the pool.
That's
so,
right.
Anyway, now I want to get back to the book, and let me give the telephone number again. It's 623-444-5889. I want to get back to the book again. This book recounts the experiences that you and your family have had. Does it also give us some insight into how each family member sort of emotionally deals with what happened?
No, it just recounts the, you know, our different experiences.
Mm-hmm.
No, I mean, for the most part, my children, my sisters, myself, my father, we don't let anything bother us. It's more of a challenge, you know. I know who I am, and I know that I am protected. You know, if we have to coexist for a time, let it be, but you stay on your side of the street and I stay on my side of the street. The only one that's really affected by this deeply is my brother, and he tends to alienate himself from us. You know.
Yeah, he's having a kind of a different experience than the rest of you, I think.
Yeah, he does, and I think he questions himself also as to why am I having the you know why did I get the worst end of the stick?
Yeah. Let's go back to the telephone line, and caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Brent from Wyoming.
Hello, Brent.
Hi, Brent.
Hi, Anna. Have you ever either heard of or met Jerry Wills?
No, sir. I do not recognize that name at all.
After the show, ask Kevin to give you his email address, because you're descended from aliens. Jerry is an alien.
Oh, wow. I would love to.
Just, yeah. That's just a thought.
Jerry Will?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay. Definitely.
All right. Thanks, Brent.
623-444-5889.
Yeah, Jerry Wills, first of all, he's almost 7 feet tall. He's got long blonde hair. One of the nicest guys you'll ever meet. He is a TV producer, he is a radio host, and he plays in a rock band.
Oh, wow.
And Jerry says that he is and has known for a long time that he is actually an extraterrestrial.
And how can I get a hold of him?
After the show, I'll be happy to give you his email address.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you. I would really appreciate that.
All right. And if you tune into the Kevin Smith Show every night, you'll hear him mm-hmm. from time to time host this show.
Okay.
Because he is my associate host here. At the moment, right. though, Anna, he is in South America. He's on an expedition to the Amazon, or in the Amazon. And so he's got a group of people down there, and they're visiting some ancient sacred sites. And so, but he'll be back close to the end of this month. But I'll give you the contact wonderful. Information. 623-444-5889 is the number to call. And by the way, you know, we have, Anna, the show is heard in 143 countries. And we okay. have people listening all over South America. We have a few people in Mexico that listen, but more in South America who listen. And so, you know, the reason I bring that up is since your family is from Mexico, mm-hmm. And Mexico is really a hot spot for UFO activity and extraterrestrial activity, okay. it could be that we have some folks that are listening tonight in Mexico and are interested in what you have to say. And so I invite them, you know, give us a call, 623-444-5889. Or if you're in South America, that also, especially Brazil and Peru, are real hot spots for UFO activity. Give us a call, and we'd love to hear from you. All right, let's go to the telephone line. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Oh, hello. It's Heidi from Manitoba.
Hello, Heidi.
Hi, Heidi.
Hi, Kevin. Hi, Anna. I'm sorry I missed part of the show at the very beginning of that. So I missed part of your story, Anna, but I've gotten sort of the general gist as I've listened as you and Kevin have been talking. And I would say my experience so far with ETs seems to very closely parallel what you've been talking about. And like you, I also have a brother who has also been very sensitive to this stuff, but he has totally alienated himself from me, thinking, you know, that this is something like he's interpreted the contact as this, as they are demons.
And Heidi, we have a break that's about to take over. Do you want to hang on through the break? I want to hear the rest of this. Will you hang on through the break, Heidi?
I sure can.
Okay.
Thank you, Heidi.
All right. We'll be back, folks, on the other side of this break. Don't go away. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're talking this evening with Anna Martin. And on the line with us from Canada is Heidi. Heidi, we had to cut you off because the break took over, but please continue.
I didn't quite hear the last thing that you said there, Kevin.
Yeah, Heidi, I said we had to cut you off during the break, when the break took over. So please continue.
Okay. Well, what I was just saying is that that I, too, have sort of gotten a similar kind of message from what it seems that Anna is saying as well. And I've also gotten the same kind of message, don't be afraid of them. Something huge is coming, and to be ready for it. And when I sort of think, well, you know, what does it mean to be ready? It has to do with the signal, with the frequency that we are broadcasting as individuals. each of us broadcasts a frequency, and we are known to other ETs and other beings by our frequency. And that frequency is determined by our thoughts, our actions, our alignment. And if we want to align with benevolent ETs, then our frequency must be in alignment with theirs in order to, as you say, like maybe to be taken up with them, so to speak. We have to share on the sort of same wavelength of, you know, how with the frequency that we are vibrating. And I think that when we sort of seek the highest good in all things and we really strive to do what is right and to walk in the light, then we start to attune with those higher frequencies, and then we can enjoy the company of these who are also seeking to help us in our world at this time.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Wow, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. You're getting the same thing too, hey?
Yeah, the ones that I keep getting is, you know, there have been times where I kind of surprise myself where I get really, really, like, upset. And I'm like, whoa, where'd that come from? And I have to remind myself, no, this is not who I am. You know, don't follow that. Don't go that way. Remain at peace as you always have been.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, I'm really looking forward to hearing the rest of what you had to say. Sorry I missed the first part, but I'm going to be tuning into this later.
Thank you so much, Heidi.
Later on.
All right. Thank you, Heidi. 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. That is the number. You can call that number from anywhere on planet Earth, probably also from planet X. But you can call that number and get through right here to the studio, and you can talk with Anna Martin. Anna, you and I have something in common.
Okay.
Both of us have names that are also possessed by people in the film industry.
There's, oh, no kidding.
There is a famous actress from Mexico by the name of Ana Martín.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a famous filmmaker here in the United States by the name of Kevin Smith. So both of us have names that famous people in the film industry also possess. I don't suppose you possess any of Ana Martin's wealth, huh?
No, unfortunately not.
Yeah, well, I don't have any of Kevin Smith's wealth either, but we do share their names, don't we? As a matter of fact, I found a whole bunch of Ana Martin or Martins. When I Googled the name, there's a whole bunch of you out there.
Wow. Now,
when is the earliest in your life that you knew about extraterrestrials?
When I was approximately 5 years old, and I say five because I remember I was in Head Start. And if I remember correctly, that's when you get started, right? At five?
Mm-hmm. I think so.
Yep. I remember seeing something in our home in Mexico, that actually my sister and I both saw it, and it appeared to be the female version of the Shadow Man.
Hmm.
And don't ask me how we knew it was a female, but we both knew it was a female, and it was the female version of a Shadow Man. It came towards us, it, you know, like literally floated towards us, and then did a quick turn to the right and disappeared into the wall.
I mentioned earlier that Mexico is a hot spot for UFO and extraterrestrial activity.
Mm-hmm.
And it has been now for several decades, and it continues to be. Why do you think that is? Why Mexico?
You know what? Mexico is so incredibly religious. I mean, every single corner in Mexico, there's a church. And every single year, in different towns, they're celebrating Saint this and Saint the other, mm-hmm. and these people are really, really into their religion.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to safely assume that why Mexico is because a lot of the people are still from Mexico, are, for the most part, very religious, and they try to do as much good as they possibly can. So I don't know if there's a connection between that and extraterrestrials, but like I said, in my experience with them, they have been nothing but protection. You know, they have taken care of us, Kevin, from some really horrific things that could have happened. Like, for example, when we were children, we used to drive to Mexico from here. Every year, as soon as school was out, those 3 months that we had during the summer, my dad would pack up his little family, and we would all drive to Mexico. It would take us about 2.5 days.
Yeah.
And I remember on one occasion, we had this blazer. That's what it was called back then, the car.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember my brothers were asleep up on the roof. My dad pulled over to get some rest. And he was asleep up on, my two brothers were on top of the roof. And my three sisters and I were in the car. And my mom and dad, of course, were reclined on the, in the chair.
Mm-hmm.
And out of nowhere, my dad gets up and says, get in the car. And we're like, oh, my God, like, what happened? So he gets back in the car. We start driving, and he's driving real slow. And my mom starts asking him what happened. And my dad remained quiet. And as we got closer, driving slowly, we saw that at the end, we were driving there. Somebody did not mark that they were fixing the road, and there was like a long drop. My dad had dreamt that we went down this drop. And he was so frightened by it that when he woke up and started driving, sure enough, Kevin, there it was. Somebody was fixing the bridge up ahead, didn't mark it, that there was this huge drop, and mm-hmm. anybody could have gone down there easily. No, there's just been so many things. My father has found pots of gold throughout his life and has never claimed any of them. You know, it's just saying, well, you know, it wasn't for me. I didn't dig it up, so it's that person, even including in his own home in Mexico. He rented the house to a guy in Mexico. The guy finds, he sees a ghost in the backyard and decides, okay, you know, where there's ghosts, there's money. So he starts digging, and what does he find? A huge pot of whatever, silver or gold coins, I don't remember, and destroyed the backyard and took the money. And this was not too long ago. This was like maybe 5 years max. And I was telling my dad, Father, this is your home. You are renting your home to this gentleman. That's your money. And his response to that was, no. He dug it up. He found it. It's his. I'm like, oh, my God, why do you keep doing that? I'm like, don't tell me stories anymore. And I looked up to the aliens and I said, you know what? You want someone to find a pot of gold? Come to me. I'll go look for it. Forget my dad.
Do you think that your brother and the experiences that he is having, you think that's ever going to change? You think it's going to turn around where he's having some more positive experiences with extraterrestrials, or is this going to continue as it is?
I think it's going to continue as it is because, just like Heidi said, my brother has alienated himself from us. Mm-hmm. I am the one that has to go over there, knock on his door. Hey, are you alive?
Mm-hmm.
Did you forget about me? You know, we love you. Why are you separating yourself from us? But mm-hmm. his response to that is always, well, I'm just really busy. I've been working. Sometimes I work on the weekends.
Yeah, I have a son like that.
You know, that's no excuse. So,
uh-huh.
And you know what? And I haven't been there in about 2 months. I haven't seen my brother in about, in 4 months now. You know, and I haven't talked to him in about a month, so... Yeah, it's time to make that drive down there.
So, if I'm understanding what you've just told us, the type of ETs, if someone is experiencing extraterrestrial contact, the type of ET that you have contact with is determined by your state of mind. Is that what you're saying?
You know, Kevin, yes. I really strongly believe that. I believe that because he is of a weaker minded, he is being attacked by those that want to, you know, and I don't want to say they want to do harm, but he's easy target, easy bait for whatever studies they have to conduct. And people like myself that are more stronger minded, we get to choose. We get to say, we have a say so. And unless in the case of where I think I was abducted when I was talking to that one person that had the scintillating, twinkling type of deal behind its pupils.
Mm-hmm.
I don't recall anything negative, so I mean, it's not like I have slashes or bruises on my body, nothing to that extent. And for the most part, I'm a generally happy person.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what the circumstances is.
Yeah.
You know, it takes a lot for something to shake me. And even when it does, it's very, very temporary.
Let me say quickly, the way our flash message system works, it checks your IP address. And if the IP address is in the United States or Canada, it dumps the flash message into the delete box. I never see it. I just get a notice that we got one. So I got a notice that we got one from the United States. If you're in the United States or Canada and you have a comment or a question, we have telephones, and you do too. The telephone number is 623-444-5889 or toll free 888-223-4599. So you can't even say, well, I can't afford to call because I pay for the call. If you need a toll-free number, I've got it. All right, let me give you the numbers again, 623-444-5889 or toll-free 888-223-4599. I also have a flash message that came in. This one is from Belgium, and it's from Mark in Belgium. M-A-R-K. I guess that's pronounced Mark. That's what it looks like. And Mark, it's kind of long. Let me summarize it. He says that he remembers me talking about seeing shadow people somewhere where I was working as international police. And would I talk about that? Well, just briefly, it was East Timor. Mark, it was when I was in East Timor, which is an island just north of Australia. And yes, there are shadow people there, and I am not the only person that saw them. I had another cop that came to talk to me about seeing a shadow person in his room. And his he worked for me, and his background is he'd been a cop for like 30 years, and before that he was military, and he's, you know, this guy is not a rookie. And he was telling me about this this whole incident where he saw a shadow person in his room. Other people saw them in various places all over East Timor. We'll be back right after this, folks. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening, Anna Martin. Let me just wrap up what I was saying about the shadow people in East Timor. I was, at one point, I was the police commander for their version of Texas. Okay, their province, their largest province, it's called Vekeke. And I was the police commander for Vekeke. And part of my responsibility was to know all of the international people who were there working. Of course, I knew all the cops, but also you had humanitarian groups there doing things, working. And so from time to time, I would have them in my home for dinner just so we could all be together, and I would know, you know, what's up with their work, what's going on, and so forth. And those people told me stories of seeing shadow people at their residences or at their place where they were working or whatever. So that was pretty widespread, the shadow people thing. And it's a mystery to me. I don't know if they're terrestrial, extraterrestrial, interdimensional. I don't know what they are. What do you think they are, Anna?
I think that they're just coexisting with us, and they don't belong on our plane, and somehow they got stuck here. Just like, you know, the fish belong in the ocean, humans on land, and birds in the air.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to me like they're just, because like I'm telling you, the one that's in my garage, he's not harmless. But I have said this, if you have God's permission, and if you're here for the highest good, then you're welcomed in my home. If not, stay out. And, you know, I have only seen it once in my home, but then again, that's when I was dreaming.
Mm-hmm.
Or was I dreaming? For the most part, it stays outside. It's in the backyard.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, my dogs have seen it. They go crazy. Oh, my God, Kevin, there's just, you know, I have to tell you something really, really bizarre that happened not too long ago.
Okay.
I woke up close to, like, 4 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
The temperature in my bedroom dropped so severe, literally from one second to the next, where I was so cold that I was shivering to the point where I almost got a cramp in my back. And, you know, I have a thick blanket. I have the comforter on top of that. I sleep on top of a thick blanket. There was no reason for me to be cold. I was so cold, I had no choice but to pull the covers over my head.
Mm-hmm.
So that I can at least breathe in some warm air.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, Kevin, once I covered myself, the feral cats in my front yard started fighting. They were just going at it. And the next thing I know it, I heard this loud thump, like somebody just hit the side of my bedroom wall to the point where it made my bed shake. And I thought, okay, I don't know what that was, but apparently I wasn't supposed to see it. Otherwise, because I would have gotten up, but it was so cold I couldn't move.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not quite sure what that all entails, but this shadow person, shadow thing that stays in my home, it's been protection for me, and all I can think of is it's somehow stuck. It seems like it's stuck here.
So you don't see this shadow person as something that's good, but at the same time, it's never harmed you and has protected you. Is that right?
Right. It seems to me, like I said before, you know, if you're here and I'm here, we have to coexist for a short time, so be it. But you mm-hmm. stay in your side of the street, I stay in my side of the street. And, you know, to date, it's pretty much done what I've asked.
And for how long has this been going on with the shadow person?
Well, okay, I saw it just this year, but my sister that used to live there with me, she had mentioned to me that she's seen it as far back as in the late 90s.
Uh-huh.
Like around the late 90s, around 1990, before like 95, somewhere to that extent. But again, it's never bothered her either.
Have you ever had guests in your home that have seen this shadow person?
Yes, I have. Just recently, one of my daughter's friends. We both saw it at the same time. She yelled. I thought, oh, my God, she saw what I saw. And she told me, oh, my God, I just saw somebody running because we were in the backyard. I just saw somebody running from the backyard and it, like, went over to the school field.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay, yeah, I saw it too.
And it was
pretty much everybody that comes into my home
mm-hmm.
has had an experience of their own, including Michelle. The first time, the first weekend that she spent the night in my home when we were getting the book together, she also saw what she and my sister both have talked about, which I've never seen, is this green ball that is about the size of a basketball, and it's like in little pixels.
Hmm.
And they both have said the same thing, that it has something in the center, like almost like an eye that's scanning you
uh-huh.
and just trying to see who you are and what your relationship is to, you know, the Martin and what your intentions are. You know,
wow.
So.
All right. Now, you know, we've got a, well, we're almost out of time, but let me do this very quickly.
Okay.
We have a one of our listeners in Australia has told us about seeing an orange golden orange colored orb, like a basketball. And it has the Eye of Horus in it. And, you know, and so what you're talking about with this green ball that appears to have an eye in it, what do you think that's about?
I think it's some kind of extraterrestrial machine, something that's just observing. You know, whenever there seems to be a change and shift in my home,
mm-hmm.
like different people that are not normally there.
Yeah.
Or, I don't know, movement of furniture or remodeling or something to that extent.
Mm-hmm.
Something always happens. I guess to me, it's just like they're sending in reinforcements or something to see what's going on. You know, why is there a change in that home?
Do you think the shadow people are somehow connected with extraterrestrials that you've had contact with?
In all honesty, I have no idea. I don't know if they are connected or not. I seem to think that they are, you know, separate entities altogether.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just my own personal opinion.
Has the shadow person ever communicated with you?
The only time it did communicate was when I had a team come over and set up their EVP equipment.
Mm-hmm.
And they asked them, you know, who are you? And it responded, the shadow man. And when one of the gals yelled out, hey, Anna, do you know anybody called the shadow man? I was like, oh, my God. Yeah, mm-hmm. that's what we refer to the shadow man that we see. We just call him the shadow man.
So do you think that the shadow people are ghosts, or do you think they're something else?
I really don't know, Kevin. I really, really don't know that answer. I don't think mm-hmm. that they are ghosts. The ghosts that I have seen have been like see-through like,
uh-huh.
you know, like a picture people picture. And the shadow man is an actual solid figure. You know, my sister, when she saw it, she saw just a figure of it, and it was standing outside of her car, and she was parked up in the driveway. And she realized she couldn't see behind it. And when I saw it, it was the same thing. You cannot see through him. You know, he's this mm-hmm. actual solid figure. Ghosts, you could see right through.
Yeah. Okay, well, Anna Martin, I want to thank you for being with us this evening. If you will, stay on the line with me for just a moment as we bring the show to a close. Folks, you can get the book. I think probably the easiest way for you to find out more and to order the book would be to go to the website, martinfamilybooks.com, martinfamilybooks.com. Very interesting story, and it's especially so because you have a family that's not even talking to each other about these incidents, and then one day when someone does, everyone in the family starts talking about, yeah, I had this happen, I had that happen. There are a lot of families out there living in the silence. It might be best to talk. My friends call me Steel Eye, my enemies do too, and you can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.